The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
You are being called out in a big way on Twitter.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Are, what else is new? People are hammering you for your being anti-kid.
I'm not an anti-kid.
Anti-11-year-old.
I'm just about responsible.
What are you, an ageist? Is that what's going on?
Well, not just that. I thought you were libertarian.
Mm-hmm. I am libertarian.
But that's not very libertarian talk of you.
Because I don't want my child to operate a two-ton vehicle.
Because you are supporting what government... You supporting what government wants?
No, I don't care about the government. I'm just talking about
big rules, big government.
My
That's
kid,
what you want.
You know, I wouldn't feel comfortable putting my kid
right
behind the wheel of a car.
That Zaina?
Yes, Zaina.
Zaina, in your mindset, she will not be responsible enough to drive at 11.
No, I doubt very much that.
Whose fault is that? Hers or yours?
Oh, snap. Oh, no, well, you didn't.
I'm not going to be putting her behind the wheel of a car at 11.
Whose fault
Dana
is that?
Dana Mayer says in the NHRA they let kids race cars as young as 5.
In where?
The NHRA.
What's the NHRA?
National Hot Rod Association.
Well, I will
at
not be attending any.
At 6, they get
any...
to race against somebody.
Wow. Are we talking
course,
like
the death
box
rate
cars?
Is 97%.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, they still let them do it, you know.
Why get lost in percentages?
That's right. Talking... Lori D., I beg to differ at Cal 79. My 9-year-old knows how to responsibly get some, and then has a picture of him shooting a gun.
I'm not opposed to having your child fire a gun,
you
but you
oh, but
wanna,
they can't operate a car.
You can no, you need to. She, I
what
need
is
to
more
be there.
Dangerous, a gun or a vehicle?
They're both equally dangerous.
No,
but you're willing to let it be one, not the other.
No. With supervision, like if I'm in the car with
revisionist,
her, if I'm in the car with her,
waffle,
and she's next to me, I,
progressive,
and she learned. I probably would be okay with
stop
that on like a road where there isn't anybody else.
This is an intervention.
But I'm not going to let her go on her own.
Little bitty shovel.
Just dig.
It's like working with 6-year-olds, man. I swear to God.
Steve Sexton tweeting, dude, George Washington was surveying for the state of Virginia by age 11.
Have you talked
Time to
congratulations
expect more.
To George Washington.
Here's the thing. Have you talked to David Barton about that 10-year-old that was a colonel?
That's right.
What's his name?
John Clem.
10-year-old colonel.
Hello, Cal.
He killed one of the top colonels for the other side, and he was...
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Short Round.
Yes.
Short Round really? Drove a car.
Dr. Indiana Jones.
He wasn't even 11, was he?
Dr. Gonna, Jones.
That wasn't a documentary.
Second
that
Indiana
was a
Jones.
Movie.
He drove it. He had to put the blocks on his feet, but he
That's
drove,
right.
Cal.
Yep.
And that was a major blockbuster.
Uh-huh.
Wow. This is on you, man.
Yeah.
Hey,
on
joining
me.
Us now, Harvard physicist Dr. Michael Gillen. How are you, sir?
Join us. You guys keep talking. Hey, listen, I've got you all trumped. I got a kid who just turned 18, and the first thing he wanted to do was to get a driver's license and start driving. So my wife and I are going through that, but, you know, it doesn't get any better at 18, let me tell you something. It gets a little scarier at 18, actually.
So, Doctor, we heard you were going to be on, and he has a new book out. It's a novel, author, The Null Prophecy. We were discussing, and Cal had a burning question he wanted to ask. He said, the number one thing I want to know from Harvard physicist.
Award-winning Emmy
is what, Cal?
Have you met Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Oh.
Now, the reason is...
The reason being is I really don't like Neil deGrasse Tyson. So I thought maybe in the physicist circle you might have come across him.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting, Cal? I actually knew Carl Sagan.
Now, that's
I don't
a
know how
list.
You feel about Carl, but when I was a grad student at Cornell... Carl was just kind of getting famous. He was going on the Johnny Carson show and all that sort of thing. He hosted that show called Cosmos.
That's right, yeah.
DeGrasse Tyson then kind of took over.
Mm-hmm.
And DeGrasse Tyson claims that he was kind of Carl's protege, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No, I haven't met Neil deGrasse Tyson, but I attended I'm also a member of the Explorers Club, and he was speaking there years ago. He seems like a nice enough guy, but like too many scientists today, What's happened with these guys is they've allowed themselves to become very political.
And so every time they open their mouth,
you're not quite sure what you're hearing. Are you hearing science or are you hearing politics? I try to be old school. I try to, you know, just keep the politics out of it. I try to just speak truth and just trying to protect science as kind of the last bastion of non-politicization, because everything else has become so political. Hey, everything. Sports,
you could,
everything.
You could learn a thing or two from Bill Nye. Let's just...
Bill Nye, the science guy.
The thing is, Doctor, I think most of us are even okay with scientists or other people expressing political opinions. That's fine. It's the rabid nature and the abrasive nature of it.
I feel like when Tyson talks, it's like if you don't believe what he says, you're an idiot.
Right. It's kind of an arrogance to it.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, there is. I have to say a lot of my colleagues are that, and there's no question about it. And I agree with you too, Doc, that everybody should have the right to express a political opinion, you know, whether it's a pastor or a sports figure or whatever. Mm-hmm. But when you're promoting yourself as a, for example, a scientist, like I am right now speaking to you as a scientist, you know, I really feel I have an obligation to science.
Wow, that's nice.
To make it very clear when I'm pontificating politically versus when I'm trying to speak to you as a scientist. Because I think you and anybody else might want to know from me, well, what does science say about XYZ? You don't want to hear what my political opinions are. You don't want my political spin on the truth. You want to know, hey, what can I rely on? What can I hang my hat on? In those moments when I'm being asked a question as a scientist, I really feel a deep obligation, and maybe I'm just really old school. I don't know. Maybe I'm being idealistic.
I think that's right. I think as long as you draw the distinction, mm-hmm. I mean, on the air here, we will give some facts, some news, and then we will pontificate. We'll give an opinion on stuff. But we try to distinguish too. Everyone knows what our political biases are too. But we'll say, okay, here's what happened, and then we comment. A lot of times I'll be like, I'm just speculating here, but maybe this. I think as long as you lay that out, but you're right, scientists, we look to as facts, right? Scientists, they give us facts. So draw the distinction.
Right. And you should, you deserve to expect that. And it's not even just science. I mean, I've been a TV reporter for most of my life. I was at ABC News for 14 years. You know, did Good Morning America, Nightline, 2020. I really tried hard not to give my opinion when I was on the air. Now, if somebody asked me, hey, what's your opinion of, say, genetic engineering or genetically modified foods or whatever, I'd give my opinion. But again, it was typically a round table in the studio where I was specifically being asked by the host, what is your opinion, Dr. Michael Gillen, as an expert, as somebody familiar with this? What is your opinion? Okay, fine. Then at that point, I'm allowing myself to give an opinion, but I'm flagging it. So you know, okay, well, you know what? I agree with him. No, I don't agree with him. But when somebody says to me, hey, you know, what is the greatest discovery in science over the last 10 years or whatever? Well, that's not a good example because that would require an opinion. But, you know, if you ask me, hey, what is the acceleration of gravity on Earth? Hey, I say it's 32
simple
feet.
That's simple. It's two. Yeah,
everybody knows that one.
It's the number two, yeah.
By the way, the greatest science, Dippin' Dots. It's the ice cream of the future.
Tang.
By the way, Doctor,
I wish I had a piece of that, actually.
Yeah, exactly. By the way,
you know those fidget spinners? My fidget spinner. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Some guy is on the Riviera right now collecting money on that thing.
Especially as a physicist.
I'm over here,
like,
a theoretical physicist.
Yeah.
Right now.
It spins.
A novel, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, man.
By the way, Doctor, you're quickly going to be added to my list of people I really don't like because you're too successful. Harvard physicist, television reporter, and now novelist.
I'm
still that kid from East L.A. I was born in East L.A. on the wrong side of the track. And when I think I'm getting too big for my britches, I remember that, you know. I remember how I grew up and how hard my mom and dad worked. I mean, we were talking about family at the start of this segment. You know, my dad worked as a journeyman carpenter to support three kids, and my mom, you know, stayed at home when it was still, you know, noble to be a housewife.
Right.
And, you know, I love my family dearly. We had next to nothing, but I never thought myself as poor. So I never, whether I'm a novelist or Harvard or ABC News, those are all just things that the good Lord has allowed me to accomplish in life. I don't even almost take credit for it. I can't take credit for my success because I didn't do it by myself. I had people and the good Lord helping me along the way. And this is just a privilege. Talking to you guys this morning, I'm having a ball.
Awesome.
I wrote this novel. Yeah, I wrote this novel because I want to get across some messages, you know, about science and faith and how important it is for us to keep both eyes open, both reason and faith, if we're going to see life stereoscopically.
So
you know what I'm saying?
What is the basics of this novel then?
Well, you know, it starts right off on page one with scientists in Northeast Canada finding a small hole in the magnetic field of the Earth. And that's a big deal because it opens us up to all kinds of dangers from space. But what I love most about this novel are the two protagonists. One of them is Ali Armendariz, and she's, get this, a Harvard physicist turned television correspondent.
Wow. I wonder where you got that inspiration. Very creative, doctor. Very creative there.
Well, you know, you're told to write what you know.
Right,
well,
right.
I know science and I know TV stuff. So she's great because I made her into a baby Christian. I wanted to see her struggle with her faith. I didn't want to write a little church lady, you know, who had it all together and, you know, was prim and proper. So she's struggling with faith, but she's also struggling with family. She's Hispanic, and so family is very important to her. But now that she's become this kind of big shot, She's wondering, you know, how do I keep connecting with my family who I love so much? So she's struggling with that. She's struggling with her personal life. She's got a secret that she's harboring because of something terrible that happened to her recently. And then my other protagonist, who I equally love, is a guy named Calder Sinclair. I would describe Calder as a kind of reclusive inventor. He's created a vehicle that he hopes will change the way we travel long distances forever. But he's not a happy guy. He's not a happy camper. He's a secularist who's very angry at God, and really for a lot of good reasons. He's had a rough childhood. His wife has died in a freak accident. Now his one and only kid, Sarah, has taken off to Darwin University to intern. And so he's really pinning his hopes on this vehicle. But what happens is as the danger snowballs, as the danger escalates, and I even have a G20 summit there, and again, I started writing this thing like 2 years ago, and my wife says, man, what about dumb luck? You know, I wrote a G20 summit that's convenient in San Diego. Most of the action's in L.A. and San Diego, but it's all over the world. And there's a provocateur who's plotting to create this mass rioting. So anyway, as the danger snowballs, and there's a lot of stuff that's going on with subordinate characters, the question is, what's up with Ali and Calder? They're attracted to each other, but they have big differences. They see what's happening very differently. And so the question is, can they get their act together? Can they help save the day? And it all ends in this spectacular scene in the Middle East. And I tell you, it's a page-turner. You get your money's worth.
Well,
hey, guys, I bore easily, okay? I get it. You know, I go to bed at night. My wife reads like crazy, but I open my book, and I try to remind myself where I left off, and I start nodding off, and I if I make it through one chapter, I'm lucky. So I wrote a novel that's a page-turner, man.
Well, good deal. And, Doctor, what we'll do is we'll tweet out a link to it so people can check it out. It's called The Null Prophecy, and I appreciate the subject matter because that's where we're at right now. I don't think science and faith should be adversaries, and unfortunately people have made it that way. But what is your what are your social media handles? Are you on Twitter? Are you on Facebook? How should we find you?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook at Michael Gillen, PhD, and then I think I'm Dr. At Twitter. I'm not so good at Twitter yet, but I do have a handle, as you say.
Okay, we'll find it.
I think it's at Dr. M. Gillen.
Well, okay, we'll look for it, and we'll tweet it out, and then we'll put it on Facebook as well. But it's great talking to you, Doctor. Appreciate it.
God bless you guys. It's been a ball.
You as well. Dr. Michael Gillen, author of The Null Prophecy, and we'll put the information out there. Quick break, back with more on This is The Morning Blaze.
Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. We'll be right back on the Blaze Radio Network.
Good morning, Blaze. Blaze with Doc Thompson.
What was that?
I wanted to ask the good physicist about asteroids, and you guys just hogged the interview. Because you with all your questions, and then you with all your questions.
I gave you the first question.
You wasted it on Neil deGrasse.
Well, that just snowballed, and I really wanted to know about asteroids.
It's like working with my wife.
You are literally the most emotionally needy people I've ever met. Every commercial break.
And this is coming from the gay guy.
Literally, every commercial break, for audience who can't see this, is the three of you expressing what needs you did not fulfill, what needs were not
fulfilled.
We're not fulfilled by others.
Apparently.
Ladies and gentlemen, our old friend Riaz Patel.
Hello.
You're back in the house. We haven't seen you in a while.
Yes.
How's the new baby?
Baby is good, too. Well, they're 51 weeks apart, so I've got two that are literally, I'm juggling, not literally, and it's chaos. It's chaos,
awesome.
but kind of lovely.
Well, we love to speak with Riaz, but we wanted to have him specifically in because we've got a new idea we're working on that we're going to unveil at the bottom of the hour here that has to do with culture, and we'll get to that coming up. And we're going to Facebook Live
We're going to Facebook Live, facebook.com/TheBlaze.
Okay, we're going to get that done in just a second, but we got to tell you about Brick House Nutrition and their wonderful product, Dawn to Dusk. Dawn to Dusk is an extended-release energy supplement that helps you get that energy throughout the day, but the good news is it doesn't have any crash factor throughout the day.
Yeah, you know, my wife is pregnant with our second child, and I've got a three-year-old at home, and my mom is with us to help with them when the new baby arrives. So,
and it's still not enough.
The only way I make it through my day is with my Brick House Nutrition. You know, extended release. I don't crash. It doesn't give me the jitters. It kind of keeps me throughout the day because I average like 3-4 hours of sleep. So it doesn't work unless.
And the good
I got
thing about
it.
This, I stopped drinking energy drinks, so that kind of cut my health a little bit higher because we have a challenge we have to do with Doc. With the other sponsor.
Yeah, we're going to be trying to lose weight coming up here in a
minute.
So, guys, competition or whatever.
Oh.
So, yeah, so you don't
so
have to worry
I cut down
well.
On my...
Because you don't have the extra sugar
the
and everything
sugar,
in it, which
all
is
the
really
calories,
nice.
All that stuff.
Dawn to Dusk, that extended-release energy supplement, lasts up to 10 hours, increases energy, improves mood, and stimulates your brain. All you have to do is go to BrickHouseDoc.com. That's BrickHouseDoc.com. If you remember the promo code DOC, you'll get 15% off your order. It's BrickHouseDoc.com. So what else been going on in your life before we get to our little segment? Anything fun?
I actually took a paternity leave. So for me, it was the strangest thing. For about 30 days, I was completely disconnected from the world. Did not look at news, did not look at radio, literally nothing.
You just shut it all off.
Just shut it all off. And I turned it on, and I'm like, oh, it's exactly where I was 30
days.
Yeah,
haven't
missed
much.
It's like a soap opera. You watch after 7 years, you're like, she's still? Like, can't find her twin?
She's having sex with her brother?
Like, we're still bitching about that stuff and this.
Insane.
Nothing really new. A couple of new features. That's it. Yeah.
I had a son, and the not fun part is my father was sick and actually passed away within 27 days of my son. Thank you, my son arriving. And so it quiets everything. You know, when you hear all the noise, you're like, that is important. That is absolutely not important.
The priorities.
When you see life and death go literally side by side, it quiets everything. And the noise gets really quiet, and you think, this is what I want. This is what's interesting. This is what I'm willing to spend time on.
That's a really good point. And that's probably a good lesson throughout the day anyway.
Yes.
Because we get bogged down in all of the whatever, worried about our arguments, our differences, all of this stuff, instead of going, okay, maybe I should prioritize family and other things.
It's like an addiction. It's an addiction to conflict. Like, everyone needs to get up, look at their phone. What am I going to be angry about? Like, they're searching for something to outlet their rage.
Oh, and you know what we realize, too? The internet, everything on the internet, I've got a new person, is seen, when you see it, as a challenge. So you can't read an article without going, oh, that's full of... That's raw. Yeah. Everything is you see, you challenge. If it's a picture, Chris produced out a picture, I go, oh, I make better falafel than that. whatever it is. Well, I guess I should have used
calendar. I was going to say falafel.
Sorry. I make better plantains than that.
There we go.
I had plantain chips last night, just so you know.
Oh,
yeah.
Where are they?
I ate them all. Mm-hmm. But anyways, everything's seen as a challenge when it comes to that.
It is, including the plantain.
The plantain chips, exactly. Okay, we're going to get to the food coming up.
Yes.
Because
it smells really bad.
We have a basic concept here that you can bring people together over food.
How do you have these conversations about getting to know each other in this hyper, hyper, hyper critical world where if you say something wrong, literally the whole room could explode.
Racist! Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there
sexist!
You go. There you go. So
homophobic!
So what is a way... Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Anything else you'd like to get out of...
He just likes to yell things.
I know.
Like, kind of like Tourette's.
Has it been treated?
He hasn't taken his pills today.
Yeah.
It's injections and pills.
Right. We'll get to more of that coming up. Get a quick break in here. We'll tell you our theory. And then we're going to ask you to be involved as well. Maybe you could try this at home or with your coworkers or people in your neighborhood or whatever. Try to bring people together over food. And the nice thing about it is you get food.
Yes, and it's edible.
It is edible.
Food that is edible.
Most of it
Amazing.
Is going to be edible. Back in a minute with more.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. The Blaze Radio Network. This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Well, I hope in the future Riaz's name is well enough known on the program where I don't have to label him, but at this point you still got to be labeled.
Oh.
We first became...
He's not a millennial, so he's okay.
Oh, he's okay.
Likes,
good deal.
He likes labels.
Not so sure, but...
I do not like labels, for the record. Just to put it clearly, my spokesperson, Chris, no, not so much.
So, Riaz, we first became aware of him when he wrote a wonderful op-ed piece about the election and how divided we were, and it was wonderfully written. He is very different from us. You are liberal mm-hmm. on most of your views. He happens to be gay, Muslim, Pakistani, and an immigrant.
Yes.
I get them all?
I get them all, yep.
Okay.
And a father.
And a father, yeah. Right, exactly. So very different than a lot of us in this room. And we've been talking for a while about how food brings people together and you can understand culture better over food. Because at one time, you know, look at Italians in America. They were hated. They were thought of as, you know, all kinds of lazy and whatever. And then people are like, this spaghetti is so good.
Please, let us accept them.
Please accept them. You're okay. Italians or Irish, your food still sucks. It's going to be a little while longer.
It's, I mean, to me, it's like you have people who could learn so much from each other, who could actually enjoy each other's company, who mm-hmm. work in cubicles next to each other, but can't figure out how do I start the conversation.
Okay.
So I came here to ask you to bite my culture.
I'm sorry?
Whoa. I came here to ask you to all to bite my culture.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
And what is known as a bite fight.
A bite fight.
Yes.
Nicely done. But was it a guy emailed you and talked about asking Muslims?
Yes. So a guy emailed
me. This is really interesting.
From the factory floor of the in Ohio. I don't want to get him in trouble. And he said, I'm very concerned about Islam, but I know, you know, it's nothing terrible to be afraid of, but my views are off. But I don't know who to ask. And he went up to someone on the factory floor who was Muslim and asked, like, can I ask you questions? And he got written up. Now, I asked him, how did you approach him? And he was like, I was pretty angry.
Hey,
so, like,
there you go. I have some questions.
So the approach is everything. But to me, it's like, how do we get people to not be afraid of what they don't know is to know, to actually get to know what they think they're afraid of. And so to me, it's like, how do you begin it? You begin it with a game and a game about food.
All right. What's the game?
So
he has set the game and try this at home, at work, your neighborhood or whatever. And we're going to try it in the future as well with various people throughout the
coming
months.
So it's called Bite My Culture. And the idea is we have an assignment. The assignment today was bring what you would find at a five-year-old's birthday party.
Right.
And growing up. So something you would find. So this is ideally a conduit
from our culture.
So it's an opening a door of a conversation. And the idea is like you get to try something that you never normally try. And everyone likes to eat.
Okay.
So we present it. Here's the assignment. We explain it. And then there's a score of 1 to 10, 3 categories, taste, presentation, and how far you got pushed outside your comfort
zone. Okay, and we'll keep scoring. And everybody here will keep a score.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, this was short notice, admittedly. Last night, this was all, you know, mm-hmm. in the future, we'll have a little more time or whatever. I was thinking from my era when I was a mm-hmm. child, and let's be honest, most of you have probably had most of the stuff that served at a five-year-old party as far as, you know, mm-hmm. average white people from rural Ohio. It's pretty much going to be pizza right now. I mean, you've all had pizza, I'm assuming, right?
That's not white.
No, Italian.
No,
but what do you want me to go back to my...
Yes. I thought we were doing a cultural thing.
This is culture. That's what I'm saying. You have cultural ties to Egypt.
I believe you're attacking his sense of culture.
Right, exactly
right
what I'm
now.
Saying. My cultural ties, I have no cultural ties other than to rural Ohio.
So what would you eat at a five-year-old's birthday party in rural Ohio?
Okay, back in the day, it would probably be, aside from cake, if you were having food, it would be a lot of things. But one of the things back in the day when I grew up, you'd have deviled eggs.
Why did they get the name deviled eggs? I don't understand what is so evil about them.
I don't know.
I'm looking at them and they seem perfectly harmless. They're sitting
sometimes
there on a plate.
Sometimes they repeat.
They're actually quite delicious. I've had deviled eggs.
All right.
That's what I'm saying, but maybe you haven't. So I tried to do something a little bit different that was a little, you know, less known.
Thank you for not bringing pizza.
Hand it over.
Have you had deviled eggs before?
I actually have only tried it once. What is on top?
That's a little paprika.
Oh.
Yeah, also,
and this is basically deviled eggs is relish, egg yolk, and mayonnaise?
I can't tell you everything that's in it.
Okay. Mine are special. It's a family secret.
That's right. I make pretty good deviled eggs.
That's relish in an egg?
There's a little pickle relish in there, yeah.
Who thought of that?
That's very good.
Putting relish in an egg.
Some old white people.
Mm-hmm.
This game is going horrible if all we do is just assault white people in the game.
No, we're cool with that. We're cool. I've accepted it.
He's cool. He's the man. He's used to being taken down.
By the way, there's definitely mayonnaise in here because white people like mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. All right. I don't know how I feel about the pickle in the egg, I'll be honest.
A little bit. I don't love the pickle in there, but it's standard.
Okay, I'm going next. This is what's known as a gulab jamun, which is essentially gulab jamun. What happened
Chris
there?
Has been looking for that for weeks out in the dating circus.
Are you still looking for something in the dating circus?
He's like, I've been looking for a gulab jamun.
He's looking for love in all the wrong places.
I'm dating.
Obviously, he's not looking in the gulab jamun.
No, you're not.
We'll talk about that after.
Let's not talk about it later, actually. So, okay, here we go. So, gulab jamun. Okay, so this is actually something. It's incredibly sweet. The thing is, it's got rose water, cardamom, and honey. And this is so sweet. But the thing is, it's served in this, like, sugary syrup. The thing is, I used to love to drink the syrup. So it's basically me drinking the equivalent of like maple syrup, like a gallon of maple syrup.
Do I need my shots for this?
I don't think. Are you a diabetic? Mm-hmm.
That's delicious.
No.
See? Well, I mean, you probably.
You can't. I'm kind of biased.
Have you had before?
Yes.
And I've never had that. That's
it's similar
really good.
To a dessert in nope. Middle
it's like
Eastern culture
breaded.
As well.
It's deep. How could you do that?
It looks like he's going to throw up.
Are those deep fried though? Or
they are deep fried.
He's spitting it out. You can't spit it out.
You can.
No, you can't.
You don't like that?
You have to.
How could you not like that?
You have to enjoy it.
You have rage today.
He does. No, okay, so this is
I
almost...
I do like the syrup.
This is almost like a donut hole.
It is a donut hole, yes.
But much softer.
Right, softer, and then it's soaked in like a
honey,
water, honey
rose
mixer
water,
or whatever.
There was something in the middle I did not like.
It was just soft
that's
dough.
That's the donut.
It's probably
soft dough.
It's probably the sweetness, Chris, honestly. Maybe.
All right, next.
Wow, that is so insulting.
Are we scoring? What are we supposed
today?
To be scoring?
We will score.
We will score. Okay,
each one we score, right?
Yeah, yeah, one.
So we scored the...
Taste? Presentation, and then how far inside your comfort zone you went.
All right, so the deviled eggs.
I gave you a note.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
taste,
you gave me a note. You didn't give me a
taste,
pen.
Taste, presentation.
And then how far outside the comfort zone. Okay.
Very far.
Right, okay.
And is it on a 1 to...
1 to 5.
Okay, oh, 1 to 5? Okay.
1 to 5. Okay, and then next. Okay, what's next?
Are we scoring ourselves, too?
Taste, presentation.
No, you can't score
okay,
yourself.
Okay,
taste, presentation, and outside comfort zone. Got it. Okay, next. What do we got?
Oh, me. My turn.
Okay, what did you bring?
I brought... Donuts.
You. And this is why I feel
okay,
like...
Okay, this is...
So yeah.
Okay. See what
yeah.
I mean? Like, you know, you give here. A guy an assignment and he just kind of half-asses it.
He said he was bringing
it.
Plantains
that's
last
that's what he
night,
said,
because
last time I okay. checked, donuts
so
aren't in
the
Puerto
the
Rican
thing
culture.
Open at 5:30 when you drove in?
Yes. So here's the thing. You said something from my culture will
mm-hmm.
do, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll bring. So my culture is lazy. So I was like, oh my God, and I forgot to bring the plantains. And I didn't want to leave the house when I told them to I was going to bring plantains. So I was like, there's a donuts shop. Right across the street from the studios. So
I'm writing zero on your score
zero.
Right now as you talk.
Zero.
That's
zero,
I have a donut,
zero.
But
that's
I don't.
Very racist of y'all.
Zero.
You said my culture's lazy. What do you mean that's racist?
My culture
you're
is lazy.
Lazy.
It's okay for me
no,
to say
No, you specifically.
It.
I think you're hiding behind your culture. I think you're just lazy.
Okay.
You can't bring down the entire race.
So when he brought these in this morning, I looked and I was like, I had no idea fritters were from Puerto Rico. I'm the idiot here. And then I see he has glazed donuts, and I was like, wow, they must be like really glazed donuts. I didn't know that was from there. He told me last night plantains.
I did. Mm-hmm. I know.
To be fair, when I saw you last night, you're like, I don't know if I'll bring something. It might be that the white person doesn't bring anything.
Right.
And I'm like, seriously?
Well, it's like
well,
Elsa, it's difficult.
It's doc.
Well, I feel most of you have probably experienced most white culture.
But disqualified.
I unbelievable.
I got disqualified.
A little more time, and I'll do some some different things from...
From your culture. Right.
Right. Which you know a little bit of it because you grew up partially in West Virginia.
When I first came to America, we lived in West Virginia for a year.
Interesting. By the way, anyone with deviled eggs or stuff here, we get the interns in today.
Oh, yes, there is actually extra food.
All right. What were those categories again? Taste?
Taste, presentation, and how far outside your comfort zone.
So just three.
Just three.
Okay, and obviously, the higher the number, the more uncomfortable.
The more winner, the better.
The more, no, like in the comfort zone, I'm uncomfortable at 5 and very comfortable
means like
at 1.
Something you've not tried before. So it's like, oh, wow, I've never eaten that bug. That's a 5.
Okay.
Oh, we're having bugs?
Well, you get a 5 if you did.
Okay, here we go. What do we got next?
Okay,
Calster.
Cal.
I brought two things here. Hummus and tabbouleh.
Okay.
Huh?
Are you gonna,
whoa.
Hold on. You're going to call him on the way he said
talking
about
my
too.
Culture.
No, I know. But
are you
he
really
going to
give me crap about pronouncing
that,
it?
Though.
That's how you say
it's,
it.
That's how
it. All right, I'm sorry.
It's
let me make
hummus.
It more white.
Hummus. There's some hummus and tabbouleh.
Oh, my God.
Tabbouleh.
Oh,
so
I love
it. It smells like
it
so
gets
garlic.
In my
it's, nice. It's like in your nostrils, and like it's cleared up my sinuses.
Okay, what is it again? Teach me.
Okay.
Hummus. Hummus.
Hummus. Okay.
Hummus. It's from back here. Hummus.
Hummus.
Okay. It's basically ground up chickpeas with a little bit of sesame paste, olive oil, a little garlic, lemon, and like some paprika. That's just eat it. I'm not even going to tell you. Just eat it.
Is that pepper?
Okay. And what you're supposed to do is the pita comes with it. I tried to warm it up.
Use
still
your
not
hand. You don't
warm.
Use pork,
do not
right?
touch it.
This one. I was just touching the back of my hand, making sure it's warm. It wasn't as warm. So
did you use
take
your
the
right
pita.
Hand?
No, yeah. I use my left hand.
Oh, okay. Well,
so don't worry about it.
You know, right hand, left hand.
Yeah.
Everybody knows.
And okay. You take the pita and you dip it into the hummus.
Show me how you do.
Show me how you do.
Want to see your technique?
No, just grab some of it.
I know. We're trying to see. But see, he did a pinching move.
There was a pinching move.
That's why I want to know. There's a because like some like. Other cultures, you actually grab with the bread.
I will say the pinch is key, because otherwise you end up with hummus on your fingers.
You don't want too much hummus. You want to have an equal...
Where did you get this hummus?
I made this hummus.
Did you make this?
Yeah.
No.
I did.
No.
I did.
Uh-uh.
Last night at 10 o'clock, you made hummus.
It wasn't at 10 o'clock. You texted a little bit before that.
That's okay. What I'm saying. It was okay, like 3 p.m.
Okay, good. All right.
I took the assignment serious.
Thank you.
And then this is tabbouleh.
That's pretty good hummus.
Hey, don't touch my booty.
That's pretty good hummus.
And
bulgur. Okay. It's bulgur. You know what bulgur is? It's a grain. With some parsley, tomato, also garlic, lemon, olive oil. Try it. It's a grain. It's kind of like quinoa, but not exactly. But.
Did you make the tabbouleh too?
Yes.
Seriously, you
lies, made it? Lies. Don't
believe. Okay, the tabbouleh, nicely done, sir.
Oh, what? You didn't like the hummus?
No, I like the hummus too. I just told you the hummus was good.
I didn't hear you. I was not even.
I recommend when people play this.
When it comes to my food, I am a girl.
Okay, I recommend they don't play with cow.
I cook. I take it serious. I think very serious.
Really? I think that's awesome.
Oh, no.
That I cook?
That you cook.
Yeah. I'm,
does your wife cook?
My wife can't cook for...
How about your husband? Does he cook?
He does. And I do, too.
Is it all British food?
There's no British food. I don't know what British food is.
Fish and chips.
Fish and chips, no.
He's British, isn't he?
But British food, like, they commandeered Pakistani. Like, they commandeered curry.
You know why?
Because it has taste?
Exactly. Yeah. British food and Irish food. The Western or European, not so good or whatever, generally speaking. Okay. There we go. Taste, presentation, and outside your comfort zone.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have... Mm-hmm.
What's this?
Pita.
There's different kind of pitas here.
Okay, you didn't explain
that. Oh, I didn't know there was that.
Yeah. It's just some is a little thinner. Oh, like, this is like a thinner pita. This is a bit
like
of a...
That's what I'm saying.
They're all pita, though. They taste the same, pretty much. One's a bit thicker, one's a little thinner.
Like paper. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a bit thinner one. Some people like that. I tried to warm it up, and...
Paper.
All right. So, scores. So, I would say... we all agree that I think Chris probably doesn't get
into
the positive numbers.
He's
I think so.
He
I gave him zeros all across the
zeros
board.
Across too, yeah.
I don't have a problem with the fritters. It's just it's not really
incomplete.
It's the attitude, really, I'm feeling.
Effort.
Yeah.
It's all about effort, you know?
so
he's doing really well eating everything, though. Mm-hmm. He's doing
can
really good there.
Can I combine cultures?
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Look at that. He's bringing the world together.
Okay, you're going to go with the fritter with that?
Yeah.
Wait, but then you have to put some of my syrup on.
I will. Give me a...
Okay.
Okay, let's get a break. We'll come back with the scoring, and we'll wrap things up on The Morning Blaze.
This is
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Got to tell you about Relief Factor, a product designed to help deal with inflammation in your body. Inflammation is what causes pain quite often, and a lot of people are trying to mask the pain as opposed to get rid of it. A lot of people in our audience have tried a Relief Factor. A lot of us here in the studio have, and guess what? They've gotten rid of their pain with Relief Factor. Try it today. All you have to do is call 800-500-8384. It's 800-500-8384. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Get that quick start pack for just $19.95. Just $19.95. And you may be pain-free. Usually takes 7 to 10 days or so to see results for me and my sciatic. It was about 4 or 5 days. It varies, but usually 7 to 10 days. Start as soon as you can. Call now, 800-500-8384, or go to ReliefFactor.com. It's ReliefFactor.com. All righty, that is it, ladies and gentlemen, the end of the Morning Blaze. But before we go, as always, let's find out what we learned today. We learned that, first of all, we have to get a rating here. Who won? I think it's Cal
won.
I will humbly accept this honor.
It felt humble.
You know that means you gotta make for the crew now. Yeah. For everybody. You're
winner makes it for the whole
every
crew.
Day?
Yeah.
No, just for the whole crew.
For the whole building.
Oh, great.
I didn't like it that much.
All right, you're
I liked
jerk.
It my booty part.
What is it? Hashtag bite my culture.
Bite my culture.
And then we'll do this in the future. You want more details, we'll have them for you. Try it at home. Try it with your friends and neighbors or whatever. And I think it's a lot of
change
fun.
Change up the assignment. Change up the assignment. Something, we'll something you take to
can
lunch.
Can we get some people that actually participate and bring the food from their culture?
We will. Yeah, we'll definitely do that. Although you did diss his culture at lunch one day, so I understand he's a little shy.
I hate his culture.
Enough lies. All right, we learned that the Women's March, Inc. is neither women or a march.
Nope, not at all.
We learned pro criminal tip number 3612. Never take a sword to a broom handle fight. light. And leg cast can be used as a storage device.
Yes.
Cal,
yes.
What, if anything, did you learn today?
I learned I'm surrounded by maniacs who will let preteens drive.
No.
What's wrong with you people? I learned that Chris shirked new responsibilities by saying no to the boss man joining the Comms Call.
No, I never said no. I said
he bitches every week that he's not on it. Now he wants
never
to get it.
Never bitched about it.
And finally, I learned I'm obviously the best cook in the room.
Oh, shut up.
Okay, wow. That's a little
what do you bring
talk.
To guacamole?
Humility.
Riaz Patel, what, if anything, did you learn today?
I just learned that Cal takes his hummus very seriously.
It's from back all here. Snap. It's the hummus from back here.
Chris Cruz, what, if anything, the listeners learned today?
Libertarian also learning food porn on TMB. International Edition. Oh, I'm sorry. Interracial Edition.
Oh, Interracial International Edition.
Yep. Deadpool also learned while entering tabbouleh is awesome. There's some Middle Eastern grocery store in Houston that sells it.
I gotta be honest, Cal's tabbouleh may be the best tabbouleh I've ever had.
It's actually quite good.
I can't think of
anything. I just like it sounds like booty.
And we just had tabbouleh together last week, so.
Don't tell people.
Oh, sorry. We've been tabbouleh-ing together.
CMB and the Bacon Diet tweeting out a real Chris Cruz, a spitter.
All right. I just realized we got caught up in the food, and I didn't get those new numbers on procrastination. We'll do a Monday. What else do we have coming up Monday?
We're not going to talk just fake news, but fake science.
All right. What does Glenn Beck have coming up on his program?
It's Friday, which means Bill O'Reilly's joining the show.
What is Glenn wearing today?
Paisley. Head to toe, Paisley.
And it's not the same Paisley. That's a clash. All right. Remember the Morning Blaze of today, a Chris Cruz production. Six Semper Tyrannus. Good night, Steve Cannon.
Wherever you are.
Now, you go home.
I'm not here on Monday, okay, guys? I'm not here again.
Shirking responsibility.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.